Good morning. How was your Thanksgiving? You know, how's everybody's Thanksgiving? Not right. So for like people who don't come here very often, like, you know, these two, I mean, they're church, okay? But they're Christians. We have believers up here, but they don't come here very often. We don't do Thanksgiving just because it's Thanksgiving week, right? Every week we start with that. So I'm proud to say that we are people who are used to giving thanks. I think there's one or two people in here who have said to me, I just never share when you ask to give thanks because I think my Thanksgiving things are so small. But I always say in Chinese, what did I say in Chinese? What's the phrase? 大事或小事, right? Which means big things or little things, we could all give thanks and praise, right? So God is good? God is good, okay. I'm glad that you guys had a chance to share a little bit. Anybody have any Thanksgiving that they would like to share out loud? You're going to hear about that today as I preach God's word, that there's an element of praise that is visible and it is audible and it is expressed, right? So is there any Thanksgiving that you want to give out loud? The Bible says give thanks, not just to have thanks, right? Anybody have any Thanksgiving you want to just share out loud? Or, Daniel, slow your hand, hold on a second. Or any prayer requests that we could pray for before we settle in this morning. It's kind of, you know, Psalm 55 tells us to cast all of our cares onto the Lord, and He will sustain us, right? So we want to do that this morning, whatever's on your heart, to give thanks, but also just to cast our burdens to God, and we can have a day of worship without burdens on our shoulders. Daniel.
Yeah, my son just turned 10, and I just want to thank God.
Yes.
That He blessed him with a strength and discernment in life up until this point.
Yes.
And developing him into a great young man.
How many of you guys know Daniel and Rebecca's son? Yeah, do you guys know? What's his name? Do you guys know his name?
Ezra.
Ezra, right? And you guys see him running around just as crazy as all the other kids here. He's vibrant, full of energy, full of troublemaking ability, right? But we love that because that's the children of our church, you know. There's a teacher right here who teaches my son Jennifer, and she always gives thanks because she says, "I pray for your son CJ during the week so that he'll be a good boy when I teach him." And she says, and so I ask him, you know, was he a good boy? She says, "Yes, God answered my prayers today." So we say amen, right? All of our kids at this church, they are blessed to be in a godly environment, to have brothers and sisters who love Jesus, who teach them of the love of God. We are surrounded here. And so, yes, we thank God for Ezra being surrounded by a godly family and a godly church. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Any other thanks? Yes.
I just want to thank God for, like, always being there. So when you want to rest in Him, you want to do something tough, like, you could just, like, rest in Him.
God's always there. You could rest in Him. Good. Amen. Yes. You guys amen that?
Amen.
Right. Geez, so quiet this morning. Yes. It's like He just showed that someone died or something. All right. Any other Thanksgiving? Yes.
Thank God. Yesterday, our fellowship sharing. Thanksgiving is very great.
Yes,
and
it is.
There's a couple, I guess a new couple in our church, and he gave a very good sharing, and hopefully Thursday he will.
Oh, wow. Is that Derek?
Dr. Simpson. Two children. They have two girls.
Two girls, right? And he's from the church in Riverside.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they moved from the Monrovia.
Okay,
Monrovia. Yeah, they came here, I guess, a couple times.
Great, great. Okay, praise God. Anything else? Of course. Oh, this is special. Mom's got to give thanks. Come on, Mom. Bring it out.
Well, I praise God that, you know, He brought Ryan and they're going to visit me.
Yes. Was that a surprise visit or a planned?
Oh,
okay, good. You guys are all planned.
No, we are both of us are, we are planned.
So. Yes, I know. But that's why sometimes.
And I thank God for the addition to our family.
Yes, yeah. Megan.
Megan, yeah.
Yes. Okay. I was like, another edition? No, something no, going on? No, yeah, okay, no. Good.
Thank you for our first baby girl.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Praise God for good,
good. So. Huh? There is a new edition.
There is
a new edition. Come on, to come.
Never.
Baby girl.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, I'll try to tell her. All right. Megan's going to have a baby girl. Another edition. That's great. How exciting.
The first baby girl.
First baby girl. Oh, can you imagine in that family? This little girl's just going to be smothered. Smothered. So be careful. Hey, watch out. You can't spoil her. Too much. Okay, any prayer requests or other Thanksgiving?
A prayer for my brother for his salvation.
Yes, yes.
And also as a neighbor that's really suffering a lot right now with alcohol addiction.
Yes.
Trying to support him.
Scott's brother's name is Randy. He's not a spring chicken. He's an older gentleman. And just a quick testimony. We prayed for Scott's father, who was almost obstinate. We prayed for him for like 2 years in our prayer meeting at our church on Thursday nights. And I was almost brought to tears when his father came to Christ. And it like reverberated. It stayed with me for like 3 weeks, or maybe even 3 months. I was so happy for his father. And then a short time later, 6 months later, he had passed away. But yeah, we just praise God for that. And let's pray for Scott's brother. I always tell my children, when we pray in belief. We pray in faith. Okay? Good. Amen. We'll pray for that. There's another brother here, Bob and Susan. Susan's not the brother, but Susan's not here today. Remember a few weeks ago, we had prayed for her friend who has a very aggressive stage 4 cancer. And her friend, they just got a text message today, is may pass soon. And so Susan is asking us to pray that she would have an opportunity to bring the gospel to Nurin, I believe, if I remember correctly, is her name, Nurin. And so if we can pray for Nurin this morning, that Susan desires to have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus before she passes, and that if by God's grace, this young woman can come to Christ. Okay. Any other prayer requests? It doesn't have to be life or death, but something simple. Praise God, your mom made it through safely. Okay, we prayed for her last week, okay? Any other prayer requests? Any burdens to cast onto the Lord this morning?
I just pray for, or rather, I think like a prayer request I have is come Thursday that everyone's just, whether they share a moment or not, yeah. Like they're just very thankful.
Yeah.
Really appreciate what they have and what God's given
them. Amen. So Thursday come for Chinese American Turkey Feast. It's going to be like the best Thanksgiving you've ever had since last year's. But we come and we just give thanks. This is a church, man. We just spent a full hour, 2 hours, just pulpits open for people to get up there and share thanks for what God has done in this past year. So prepare for your sharings. There's a link online if you want to know how to prepare your testimony and prepare your heart. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that there... this might have eaten up some of our class time, but I thank you for the time of giving thanks, and I just can't help myself but to let the class, brothers and sisters, always give thanks, always be a people of thanksgiving and praise. And indeed, there's so much to give thanks for, even when we've hit those rough patches, even when we've hit those ruts in our life, and you allow us to walk through the valley, Lord, that we don't have to fear any evil, for we know that you are with us, and that we give you thanks and we give you praise. I want to come before you, and I pray first for Scott's brother's salvation. His name is Randy, and he's alone. His wife has passed away. His heart is hard to you, God, and we pray that only you can soften his heart. And so we lift Randy into your hands this morning, God, and we pray for salvation by your grace. And we pray for his neighbor who is an alcoholic, we heard, and is also going through struggles. We don't even know his name, But God, you know who this neighbor is, and we lift him into your hands and take this burden off of Scott and his shoulders, God. We pray for Susan's good friend, Naren, who is dying very rapidly, nearing death because of her aggressive cancer. And our dear sister, Lord, is so sad, but she's praying for an opportunity to bring the gospel, if not today or tomorrow, to her father. I pray that you would be the God who opens doors, and that you allow Susan to go in, because her desire is not for her friend to forever be banished and separated from God and the love of God and his people, but to be together and redeemed and saved. And so we pray for Nereus' salvation by your grace. Again, open doors and soften her heart to be receptive to the gospel, God. And I hear Joshua's prayer this morning, which is to pray for upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, Lord, and that Thanksgiving we celebrate as a church family. God, I can't think of anything better than that. Even though we have our nice family times, but to be together with our spiritual family and to hear the testimonies, the praises of your people as your name is lifted up, and that our sanctuary would be filled with hearts that are grateful, and that our hearts, that our sanctuary would be filled with a people of praise. Oh God, we pray for that. And Joshua said, even if you don't have a chance to get up because there's not enough time, Lord, that we would just be filled with thanksgiving, but that we would be clamoring for the opportunity to open up our mouth to give praise to the name of Jesus. Father, this morning I pray for this class and all the classes, that, Lord, your spirit would move mightily in our midst, and pray for me, your child, that you would help me in my voice. I'm not sure what's going on with my voice this morning and last night, but I pray that you carry me through for the benefit of your people. I offer myself to you, and that's all I can do. And I pray that you would use whatever you have given to your servant to bless your people and to build them up, to equip them, and that your name would be glorified in our midst. And this would all be contributing, Father, to your kingdom. Our worship would contribute to your kingdom, Father. We thank you, and we give all these things into your hands, and all of Jesus' people said, amen.
Amen.
All right. So last week we did this thing, and we're going through Revelation, but I'm not going to go through too much. I'm going to just try to flip through this as quick as I can. Last week we saw that this is my easiest way to break down the book of Revelation. If we can break it down, and there are many different ways to skin the cat or skin the rabbit, if you're me. You shoot rabbits in your backyard, but you know, if you can skin Revelation, this is the easiest way that I could think of, and there are others that are also very good I might introduce as well, but this is just simple. We already went through chapter 1. Now we're spending time in not just the things that John saw, right, as the message was being brought to him, but now we're looking at the things which are. We're talking about the seven churches. And I'll show you the map real quick. We're going to spend, hopefully, just today in finishing this part. And we got to spend a little time in the longer section. And that's when there's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of the stuff that we might be afraid to read Revelation for. We're going to go through that in the following weeks. If by God's grace, we have time to cover all that. But it's just nice. I try not to rush things too much. I want to go with the pace of where the class is at. And last week someone asked me, hey, is it important to clarify some of these things? And for me, as I sense where the class is, I think in some of the things, if we need to camp out a little bit, we'll camp there, and God will just take us through. All right, you guys good with that? This was our picture of the seven churches, and we said that, hey, we spent an awful lot of time reading the letters of Paul and the letters of John, but I think it's worth our time, if we spend so much time in the letters of John and the letters of Paul, that we spend time in the letters of Jesus. These seven letters are written to seven churches, right? And we also said one of the reasons why of these particular seven churches was because that these are very strategic cities for God. These are right along a very major Roman highway. The Romans were building roads for economy and for military. And because they did this, this allowed, if you remember the Philippians study, God was setting up for the fullness of time through the Greco-Roman empires at that time. What did Greek provide? What did Greece and their empire, which was before the Roman Empire, provide that set up for the gospel? A common language, Koine Greek. And that just spread, that allowed the gospel to spread through one common language throughout all the lands. Okay, not just here, but this is the Mediterranean here. You got Macedonia over here, all the way down to Egypt. But Greek Empire was like all over here. And when you have Roman roads like this, so the Roman Empire provided the highways, right? So God was using even these unsaved empires over the Jewish background to pave the way for a very rapid expansion of the gospel, right? So the Greeks provided, there's a couple seats up here and right next to Jennifer right there, up to you, Bobby. And there is like, what was I saying? What was I talking about?
The roads.
Okay, so Greeks provided Koine Greek, which is forced everybody to learn the Greek language, basic, simple Greek. Romans came along after that and built all the major highways for military and economic purposes, but the Romans were great engineers, and so to set it all up for rapid expansion of the gospel. The reason why these seven churches are very critical are because this is the gateway. This is Minor Asia. This is the gateway, modern-day Turkey, to all of Asia over here, right? And so when we think about cities that are strategic to God, we need to recognize that these cities, if they're strategic to God, they are also strategic to who? Satan, right? And so we saw that in one of the churches, do you guys remember how to say this? Pergamum, okay, but this ain't Pergamos right here, but we say Pergama, right? So Pergama, we actually read in chapter 2, verse 13, that this was the dwelling place, the residence where Satan's throne was at that time. All right, that's pretty strategic. Because Satan, as we established last week, is not omnipresent like God, meaning Satan cannot be everywhere at one time. Satan can only be at one place at one time. And we establish that sometimes we always say, yes, Satan's attacking me. Actually, it's probably one of his demonic forces. In Ezekiel, we learn that how much of the heavenly angels did Satan, who was an angel himself, how much of the angels... Am I loud? I feel like I'm loud. I'm so sorry. Like, I just hurt my own neck. That's terrible. What percentage or how many? How much of the... Can you hear me? How much of the angelic host did Satan bring down with him? Anyone remember?
One third.
And if you think and you imagine, I mean, there's not even a number of how many angels there are. We're talking well over hundreds of millions, I don't know, billions of angels, and a third of that is Satan's army. So yes, Satan himself, like Scott, does Satan himself come to attack you?
No, sir.
Probably not, right? Probably not, because, you know, sorry to burst Scott's bubble, Scott's probably not important enough strategically. Neither am I. I don't think Satan himself comes to attack me. But a sister did clarify last week, does it really matter? Because everywhere in the New Testament, it talks about it's Satan who is what? Who is what? You guys get my, like, animal motions? Who's what? Prowling around like a lion looking for someone to what?
Devour.
Devour. Okay, well, that's not necessarily Satan coming to devour you, but all his minions, or Scott, what's the name for a little tiny punk demon?
Imp.
Okay, so your little imp demons, they come at you with the strategy of Satan. Trust me, all of you gamers out there, it's so funny. We were just at Peter and Nancy's house, and they're talking about, Peter bought this new 1990s game console. What's it called? Yeah, but that game, Street Fighter, and you got to do those moves, like fireball, you know. And I was terrible at that. Like, my friend beat me in Street Fighter with his feet. I'm so bad. I'm probably the only Asian guy who's not good at video games. And or me and my buddy Frank, we're terrible. But even when you play these games, you need strategy. You need strategy. Right, you're gonna look like you're injured, and then you come back. But you need strategy. You gotta plan steps ahead. Or if anyone who plays chess, you need to think ahead. You're setting up. These guys are very strategic. Right now, we got into this study last week. We're gonna keep this going on just for about 15 minutes, just to make sure that we lock in today concepts of spiritual warfare. Because last week, another sister and I were talking at the very end. And there was almost kind of a sense of, boy, if we don't get this right, man, if we don't get this right, if we think that Satan is too powerful, if we give Satan too much credit, all right, then we're probably, we're not in a good space. We're not in a good space as a people of God, okay? So we want to look at that this week, because last week what I started doing was I started to show you that there's this great book called Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And if you ever have a chance to read it, buy it. It's probably like a 10-buck book. It's easy reading. I think there's even modern-day reading if you want to go for the modern-day English, if you can't handle the older English. But it's a great book. I've read it a couple times. Bex is not even in the class, but I told her about it, and she picked up, I have a couple copies if you want to borrow one too, it's fine. She picked up one of my copies and started reading it just this week. And it was cool because she was like, we were at City of Hope doing a cancer checkup for myself. And she was like, oh man, this section is so cool. I'm like, what is it about? She's like, da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, I'm actually talking about that with the class. That's a good point. Isn't that a powerful point for Christians to know? She's like, oh, you're going to talk about the class. Yes, I am. So see, we're tracking on the same thing. It's a pretty good book if you want to read that. But what we saw last week was just a few different lessons that I brought up. This book is about a more senior demon writing, who is Uncle Screwtape. Okay, that's his name, Screwtape, funny name. And he's writing to his minion nephew, demon, the imp. Okay, and his name is, do you guys know? Wormwood, okay? So you got this guy writing to this little tiny little nephew demon, giving him ideas. And a few of the reminders was spiritual warfare does not stop once you become a Christian. In fact, the very first one or two letters was the patient, which is us, who has just become a Christian. That's actually when the major strategies start, okay? Because the enemies don't have to work too hard when you're not a believer. You're already belonging to Satan's family. When you're not a believer, if you're not a believer in this room, you're either a child of
Satan,
God, or you're a child of Satan. And you belong to his camp. They don't have to do anything on you. There's not that much of creative strategy. You're already in his grasp. Right? But once you become a Christian, that's when spiritual warfare really begins. Okay? Attacks are very subtle. These are some of the strategies that we talked about last week. We talked about time, remember? Here's one of the strategies. He says, you, okay, this guy writing to this guy, you must therefore zealously guard in his mind. You got to give him the thinking that my time is my own. You got to make him believe that all of his time in that 24 hours belongs to him, not the enemy. They call the enemy, God is the enemy. Because God has redeemed him. God has saved him. All his life belongs to God now. But we need to make them think that time doesn't belong to God. Time belongs to themselves, right? Okay, so that's one thing. Second, he has this chapter regarding family life. Family life. This is fascinating. He says, I am very pleased by what you tell me about this man's relation with his mother. Ooh, that's like me and mom. But you must press your advantage. The enemy will be working from the center out, gradually bringing more and more of the patient's, the Christian's conduct under the new standard. That's the biblical standard. And may reach his behavior to the old lady at any moment. He's saying the strategy of God is to transform people from the inside out. Yes. And God's goal is to bring us into his new standard of living. You guys with me? You see that? So he says, watch out for that. And it's going to reach his behavior to his mom, the old lady. At any moment, you want to get in first. Little demon, imp, you got to get in first. Wormwood, keep in close touch with our colleague, Glubos, who is in charge of the mother. I don't know, the demon with the mother. So work with that other demon and build up between you in that house a good settled habit of mutual annoyance. Daily pinpricks. Basically, make the people in the family, I don't care if it's son to mother, mother to daughter, father to daughter, brother to sister, brother to brother, husband to wife, whatever it is. Their strategy is to say, make them annoyed at each other. Daily pinpricks, little things that will start to add up. Ryan and Megan, how long have you guys been married now? Huh? 3 years. Has it been that long? Wow. Now I feel even older. My goodness. I had the honor of marrying them. Man, so, Megan. Is there anything, even though we know Ryan is a good guy, he's a doctor, a good guy, is there anything, he loves Jesus, is there anything that Ryan does that might kind of annoy you? Nothing, nothing! See? The enemies don't attack them. They go to a really good church. I'm saying, yes, there is, Megan says, right? Ryan might not even know. Like, okay, tell me later. Tell me later. We won't put you on the spot. Does it sometimes, can it become a daily pinprick, Megan? Yes. You see that? You think the enemy was born yesterday? They've been doing this for thousands of years. They want to, this is basic strategy. This is creative, right? When two humans have lived together for many years, it usually happens that each has tones of voice and expressions of face which are almost unendurably irritating to the other. Work on that. Look at the division in family and home. Look at the problems between husbands and wives, parents and children. And look where they begin. Little annoyances. The enemy knows how to exploit that, right? We also see that, they said prayer. Okay, so you can learn that prayer is powerful. He writes, the best thing where it is possible is to keep the patient from the serious intention of praying altogether. Wow, there's a lot of victory for the enemy in that. There's a lot of us, we know that prayer is so precious and so important. But you know, you and I both know, I know. Many times, I'm not praying when I want to be praying. You guys with me? I wish I was a more faithful prayer warrior. It is funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out of their minds. I won't tell them that prayer is boring. I'll just keep prayer out of their minds because of that new app on their phone, because of that new gadget that they have, because of that problem that they're facing. I want them to think about the problem more than I want them thinking about prayer. We don't need to put an idea in their mind. We just need to keep their minds busy enough that they don't do what God would love them to do. What God has redeemed them to do. What God has given them to live and enjoy this new life. We're going to keep them away from that. You guys know what I mean? You see how strategic they are. Lastly, I thought it was fascinating in one of the later chapters, the dry spots. How many of us sometimes go through dry spots in our Christian life? Yeah? Okay, only me and Milton here, right? Okay. Dude. Alright, we relate. Dry spots. Dry spots are dry spots, believe it or not, according to Screwtape, Uncle Screwtape, is where the Christian has the most opportunity to grow and to please God. It's in the dry spots of your faith that the enemy knows God really wants to use those times in the valley. God really, really, really wants to use that time where they feel that God is distant. God is about to make a breakthrough. And we don't want that happening. Screwtape explains this law of undulation. That, hey, here's the law. This is what happens. Christians go up and then down. They go up and then down. They have this slope that go up, but they kind of go up and then down. And he says, you got to watch out. Because the enemy, God, uses those downs more than he uses the ups. God uses the troughs more than he uses the peaks. Don't let them believe that. Let them think that when they are going through that low time, let them think that when they are going through the valley, let them think that when they are going through dry times spiritually, let them think that God is not with them. When in fact it's the opposite. God wants to show how near he is to you in the valley. Yeah, you guys with me? So, if the enemy is real and he's strategic, okay, I want you to get to a group real quick. Three people max, okay, so you get time. What are the creative ways he is trying to get at us? No obvious answers, please. No obvious answers. We are beyond obvious answers here. You can't say temptation. Okay, no. Let's be specific. Let's be creative. In what ways may Satan and the enemy try to attack us very creatively today? Get a little group around you, 3, 4, 5 people, whatever. What did I say? I don't know. Just get together in a little group. We'll come up with some ideas. Okay, all right, here we go. Give me an idea. Somebody give me an idea. Well, we're just going to start from right here and we're going to move down. Give me an idea. What's one creative way?
Using like fake Christians or like fake friends to tell you things.
Using fake Christians. Oh, like they seem like they're Christians, but they tell you advice. But it's really not good advice. Yeah. Oh, I like that. Okay. Nice. Oh, same. Okay.
Social media.
Yes. Yes. My son brought something back. I'm not on Facebook, but my wife posted it this morning. It's about before you tweet. What's Twitter? Before you tweet. There's like some rules to think about. My little son, he doesn't even have Twitter. I'm like, do you even know what Twitter is? Oh, Dad, seriously? Yes. I know what Twitter is. Okay. But there's like these cool rules that help you tweet better. Okay, good, thank you.
Twitter is a
what?
That website.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of arguing. Right. There's a lot of arguing. There's a lot of pressure from social media. Yes. Sense. Okay. The feeling of being content. But content with God or content with
worldly things?
Yeah. Sometimes even being content with God as if, okay, I'm good enough. Yeah. I'm good as I am. I don't need to love God more. I'm happy where I'm at. Ooh, that's pretty creative. Man, Stephen's okay. All right, in fact.
Twisting truth.
Like?
Like exaggerating something that might be true and making it.
Yes, okay? Exaggeration, like?
Other people's
opinions. Oh, like someone's opinion really coming into affect me. Mm-hmm. Okay, that happens to me, yes. Okay, I'm with you. Okay, anybody else? Ah, yes, yep. Just kind of like the fake Christian, like looking like a Christian.
More like, you thought the wife's from God, but it's actually not the God.
Yeah, it's actually not God. Good, good, great. Anybody else?
We have the same thing.
Okay, same, good.
Hobbies.
The things that you love that can open up with a like a little foothold for them to come in. Hobbies are not bad. Hobbies are neutral. Hobbies are neutral. Guess what? This phone, is it bad? Is it terrible? No, it is not. This phone is neutral. It is not good. It is not bad. It's a tool. I don't really like, I don't know if we have a slide. I think I introduced a slide. I don't know if it says, please turn off your phones. I don't think that's sending the right message. I think we need to learn to redeem the phone. I believe that as a church, we need to learn how to use the phone for God, to glorify God, for kingdom purposes. This phone can be used for good or for bad. It's neutral. As a church, I would like, as a pastor, I have this burden to introduce that this is neutral. We need to teach how to redeem this thing to use it for good or for clocks. Okay, good. What else? Anything else? Okay, so we have these ideas here of what the enemy can do, and by the way, I'll just tell you, none of those were that creative. I'm sorry. That's called bubble bursting. That's not that creative. These guys, they get you in ways you can't even imagine. Okay? But what does the Word of God tell us? This is where we're going to end, okay? So what I want you to do is, can you see these little tiny verses, okay? You're all in a little group, since we have so many people in here, you're all going to take one verse. And there's some longer ones, like this is a little longer one, okay? So if you want a challenge, who wants a challenge in here? Cindy, I saw your hand. Was that your hand? Okay, Cindy's group is going to take this one right here. Romans 8, 1 through 14. Was your hand up? I could have sworn. I passed over and it's like. Alright. Everyone else gets one or two verses except Cindy, okay? And if more people want to, any other group wants to take a challenging verse. Oh, Ryan's hand just went up. Okay. So Ryan's group and Cindy's group will look at this, okay? And maybe. You guys can look at the first half a little bit more, and you guys in the second half, roughly, doesn't matter. Every other group, okay, I'm going to call it out. Ephesians 6, right here. Next group, James 4, 7. Next group, 1 Peter 5, 8. Raise your hand for the next group, yeah? You know who you are? No. Ephesians 6, 11. Raise your hand. First group, okay. Second group, James 4, 7. That's you, Sophia. There you go. And then 1 Peter 5, 8. Nancy's group over there. And then 1 John 5. Next group back there. Daniel's family, 2 Corinthians 10. Group in the back, 1 John 4. That group right there, Amos' family, 1 John 2. Romans 12, 2, Mr. Zuniga. And then, okay, we got that group. And then, Darren, are you with Scott? No? Yes? No? No, they're not. They're going to do 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Okay? And you're going to tell me, what does the Word of God tell us when the enemy uses everything, and we see a picture here, not only the demons themselves attack us, but they attack us through the world and through our flesh. And you're going to find out notes from God's Word. Very easy.
Okay.
Yep, get to it. All right, you guys ready to go? We got to go. Here we go. Let's listen up, okay? So what does the Word of God tell us regarding all of these things that are causing us to sin? You can see that, right? Can you guys find something that helps us in the Word of God to help us understand spiritual warfare? Yes? Okay, hopefully you got something in there. Right. Okay, we're going to start with Ephesians 6, 11. Give me one main point that you learned from there.
The devil has all kinds of schemes.
The devil has all...
So we need to put on the full armor to protect ourselves.
So we must put on the what?
Full
armor of God. Did I spell schemes right?
Yeah.
Okay, schemes, good. All right, next. James 4, 7.
So we're giving up our everything to God.
Okay.
Let him come to our way.
Okay.
So the devil will just get away from this.
Okay. We give everything up to God.
And let him take control of our lives.
Okay. Do you guys agree? Sophia? Good. All right. 1 Peter 5, 8. Next group.
Always be on God.
Yes. We need to always be on guard. Good. Okay. Next.
Believers overcome the world by believing in Jesus, and our faith is the victory that overcomes the world.
Okay. Believers need to overcome the world by faith in Jesus, and then what?
And our faith is the victory that overcomes.
Whoa. That overcomes. Okay, like it. All right, next. 2 Corinthians 10.
So we don't war against the flesh, but we war against
spiritual. So we don't work what?
We don't war in our flesh, but in the spiritual.
Yes. Good.
And we are able to bring everything that is against us captive to God's
yes. And we can what? Yes. Right. Bring everything that is against God captive. I'm sorry. I'm like hitting God like fat fingers here. Okay. Captive. I like that word. You guys like that word?
Yes.
We can bring it captive. We can put it under submission because of God's word. Amen. Good. Back group. Yes. And what? We are what?
We are on God's side.
We are on His side. Amen. Yes. Okay, good. All right, 1 John 2:15.
Do not love the world or the things in the world.
Oh, no. You cannot just repeat the verse.
Okay. It identifies what are the desires of the flesh,
okay.
which is of the world, which is desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride of life.
Okay.
These are the things that you need to be careful with and not love.
Yes. Okay. Be careful and not love the things of the world. Good. Good, 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 good. Desires of the flesh, lust of his eyes.
Desires of the eyes and pride of life.
Pride of life. Good. All right. Romans 12, 2. Who's got it?
Try not to read the verse.
I know. I'm so sorry to make it hard for you guys. Otherwise, I'll just show the verse and then we'll be done.
Is one way Satan can attack us.
Okay.
And how we can counter that is by renewing our mind. And the way we do that is to test,
And the way that we counter that
right.
is what? Anybody know Romans 12, 2? Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. How would you guys sum that up?
Don't follow the worldly way.
Okay. And the way is to not follow the worldly ways. Good. All right. Thank you. OK, Okay, Romans 1. This is hard. Give me a couple parts here.
God never condemns us. So if we have condemnation, it's from Satan.
God. Ooh. What did you just say? God what?
Never
condemns us.
Because we are in Christ, and Christ is not condemned by
God. That's right. If we live in the Spirit,
we should have life and freedom.
We should have life and freedom. Ooh, so good. Okay, next. Second part of Romans.
Set your mind on the Spirit and not of the flesh.
Okay, so set your mind. Come on, rephrase that.
Set your mind on the Spirit and not of the flesh. You don't like it?
Sounds like the scripture.
I'm
not reading from it.
Okay.
Dwell on the Spirit.
Dwell on thoughts that are of the Spirit. I don't know. Yeah.
Because the Spirit dwells in you.
Ah, because the Spirit dwells in you. Good. Anything else? There's more in there, huh? A lot of gems.
As a result.
As a result.
Your body.
We're simple here, man. If you haven't noticed.
Your body, which is dead from sin.
Your body, which is your flesh. Which is dead from sin. Okay, here we go. We're losing the page here.
To life, as Jesus did. And you'll be adopted as son.
Oh my gosh! That's so much. Okay. Check this out. Isn't this great though? Look at it. We can't fit it. Isn't this great though? Look at this. Look at this. The devil has all kinds of schemes. We know that. These three sections of verses, we can compartmentalize them. The devil has all types of schemes. That's why we gotta take it seriously every day. We got to put on the full armor of God. Go back and read that in Ephesians 6. What part of the armor we got to put on? Why is that important? We need to give everything up to God and let Him take control of our lives. We don't want to control our lives. That group says we need to let God control our lives. Next group says we have to be on guard. You have to be aware. You have to be aware. There's an enemy attacking you with strategy. But, 1 John says, believers can overcome by faith. By faith in Jesus. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes. 2 Corinthians, everything that we do, we think it's all about the body, we think about the world, it's not. Everything is spiritual. You don't eat cereal, and it's not spiritual. You don't go number one or number two, and there's not a spiritual component to that. You don't take a shower. Everything is under the spiritual. God is in everything. Spirit will attack you in any area. We got to remember that, okay? But we can bring everything that is against God captive through what? His word. That's why his word is so important. And John, 1 John 4 says, God already has a victory. Our victory has been won, and we are on his side. We have to be careful, though, and not love the things of the world. Amos said, we have to be careful. That's a good word. Be careful. Don't love the things of the world. The world is the one way that Satan attacks us, and the way is one way, not the one way, is one way that Satan attacks us. And the way that we counter him is not to follow the worldly ways. And at the end, we have to remember, God never condemns us because we are in Christ. If we live in the Spirit, we should have a life. You should have a life. A new life and freedom. So you got to dwell. You got to keep your mind, set your mind, keep your mind on things that are of the Spirit, because the Spirit dwells in us. And as a result, our body, this flesh, which is dead, will be raised to life. Our body's being redeemed when we keep dwelling on the things of God. First Peter actually has something that is missing. It says, "For greater is he that is in" who? "Us, than he that is in the world." Our God is greater. This is one of the key things that one sister and I talked about afterwards. We got to get that clear. If you are with God, God is greater. Not even a little bit greater. God is completely, overwhelmingly greater. Which means everything that the enemy does to attack you, to attack me, to try to get at us, it's all under God. And our victory is in Christ. We just have to keep walking in these ways. You guys with me? We have to get that. So even though enemy attacks, even though there are attacks, even though he's going to try to destroy what the Spirit of God is doing at our church, God is a victor. Amen?
Amen?
We have to remember that. God is greater. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Is the enemy serious? Yes. Do we have to be aware? Yes. Do we have to be on guard? Yes. Are they stronger than us? Yes. But somebody said, we are on his side. Oh, amen. God's word is good, isn't it? Amen. Yes? All right. See a little baby girl like that. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. And Lord, your mercies are new every morning. And I get too excited, God, when I look at your word. I get too excited with this class. I get too excited when I preach your word. And I pray that you just kind of get me in the right place of where you want me to be. And I just want to say today, Lord, that why did you love us? How did you even let us to be on your side? Not only are we on the side of victory, Lord, but why do you allow us under your wing, under the safety of your wing, the way that a mother eagle would protect her young? Why do you do that? Your love is too amazing. You are not only so great, but your love is so great. And we can barely begin to scratch the surface of the depths of your love. And this morning, I pray that you would help us to take all of our burdens and cast them at your feet so that we can worship you with joy and with pure hearts, with clean hands. And we just want to praise you. We want to have hearts full of thanks, and we want to give you our worship. We don't need to keep receiving from you like we do, like spoiled kids. We want to give to you the best of who we are, and we want to do that today. Father, we thank you so much for the power of your word, and that we can break it down together simply, for most people simply, for some people a little more complicatedly, but we thank you for your word. It's so rich, and your blessings are so abundant. If you stop now, we could still forever sing your praises. We thank you, God. We give you all the praise and glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.